Today we're beginning here on the top of Memchet Amud Aleph, three lines down by the two dots. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Yemume, Amar Rav Nachman, Reya Hasmukah L'Dofen. If you have lungs that are up against the cavity wall, Ein Choshishim La, we don't worry about it. Helatat Smachim, on the other hand, if it grows ulcers around there, Choshishim La, then we do worry about it. So the description here is about the lungs, the thoracic cavity over there, the lungs themselves, the lobes of the lungs, can press up against the ribs and against actually the flesh that's there on the ribs. So it says here that if they are up against the dofan, ain't choshishin la, just because they're adjacent to the wall there, stuck to the ribs that are there, we don't worry about that. Whether it has a nekev in it or something went wrong and that's why it's stuck to it. Because in general, that's the natural state. On the other hand, if there's a growth over there, meaning that some sort of ulcer, some sort of blister, something has grown over there, some fibrous material, then we start to worry about it because we see some sort of damage that caused that to happen. And that's why there's something that's sitting there. The question now becomes, what is the cause of that damage? On the other hand, Mar Yehuda Mishmeid Avimei Amar, Yehuda in the name of Avimei says, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh choshishin la. We worry about it in either case. Now, the position of Avimei makes sense because it's a suffek, and in a suffek d'oraita, we're going to go the Chumrah. So his position that we're choshishin, whether there is a growth or whether there isn't a growth, that makes sense because we just don't know. We don't have enough information now. The lung stuck to the ribs or stuck to the basar that's there. In that situation, we should be worried about the fact that something is causing that attachment to happen. And therefore, we'd make it a trefa misafek. The bigger question is, what's Rav Nachman's position over here? Where he says that when there's no growth there, that we assume that it is okay. So there are different possibilities. The Ramban actually speaks to this. Whether it's a situation in which he believes that we really have a sfeik over here. It's not a natural sfeik. One sfeik is whether there is a problem or there is no problem. There's a second sfeik, which is what is causing the problem. Is it the flesh on the outside, the ribs themselves, or is it the reya? So you really have a sfeik, which is you don't even know if there is a problem. And if there's a problem, it could be caused by one of two different issues. And therefore, he's mekul in this case. That's one way to say it. That's probably the best way to explain it in the Ramban. Ramban has other ways to explain that position of Rav Nachman. The Ran, interestingly enough, says that it might relate to the difference that we saw before with regards to what is the problem of sircha. What's the problem when you have these fibrous strands that attach the lungs to something else? Is that an indication of a hole? And so then you have to worry that there really is a hole here. Or are we afraid that that will cause a hole in the future? And he wants to suggest that that might be the difference in the opinions here. That Yehuda Mishmei Devavimei says that we assume there's a hole. When you see fibrous materials, we assume there's a hole. Therefore, there's really a chashash now within the lungs as to there's a serious problem here that could be a hole in the lungs. On the other hand, Rav Nachman is suggesting that it is a problem that it could tear in the future and cause a hole. But because of the situation over here where it's in a tight area, that's not going to happen in the future, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. So that's another way to explain there, machloket over here. So now, heche abdinan, how do we deal with it? Amar Rava, so Rava comes up with a solution, Rabin Bar Shava Asberli. So Rabin Bar Shava explained to me, maitinan sakina dechalish pume. They bring a knife, which has a very pointed and sharp tip to it. Umifarkinanla. And we separate it out. We cut out the lungs from inside of the cavity. We slice those areas where there is an attachment to the wall. If there is a problem in the wall, meaning where the basar is, we find that there's some sort of issue over there that would be the cause for the growth that is happening. We assume that that is the cause of the problem. V'ilo, if we don't see that, Machmat Reyahi Vitarfa. Then it's because of the lungs, and it is a trefa. Ba'apagap lokamapke zika. And that's even though when you inflate the lungs, there's no hole there, there's no air coming out of it. Nevertheless, we assume that there was a hole, it got sealed up, and we know that those types of seals don't last over time, it's going to break, or it's going to dislodge eventually, and therefore it's a problem. Over here, the Balei HaTosafot qualify this test that Rava has. And he says, "Tehainu kushalo helatatz machim." That's only when there were no growths over here. So there are numerous ways to explain what Rava's statement says. Tosafot has the most narrow explanation of it, but he makes it clear that he thinks that this is only efficacious in one of those cases. That is, that we had two cases above. One case is where it's attached to the basar, but there's no growth there. And then the second case was a case where there is a growth there. Tosafot says once there's a growth there, we don't even discuss it. It's a problem because of the growth that's there, and therefore this test won't help out at all. That, we already assume, is caused by a hole. Abime said that we go to Chumrah, and therefore it's a problem. Because on one hand, you have the tzmachim indicating there's a problem in the lungs. On the other hand, you have the problem in the basar indicating there's not a problem in the lungs. And now you have something where you have a safek, and in that safek, we're going to go to Chumrah. On the other hand, if it doesn't have tzmachim there, it doesn't have any growth there, it's just attached to the basar, there we have an opening to take a look and to see if we can find the cause of the problem. And that's what we do. We cut it out, and then we inflate it to make sure there's no hole. And then we also check whether there was damage or something from the side of the basar, the side of the ribs, that would have caused this attachment or caused this growth. And if we do find it, then we say, okay, the dofan caused the problem. Otherwise, we're going to assume that the lungs caused the problem. So that's the reading of the Balei Tosafot, that it only is in the situation for Avime when there's no growth that's there. That's where this test is applicable. You could have read Rava as first of all applying to everything above,
which is the view of the Baal HaMor.
That means that both to Rav Nachman's statement and to Avime's statement, in all these cases you do this test and then you can make a decision based on the test. Or it could even be just referring to Avime's position. And in Avime's position, you could have checked it, whether there is a growth or whether there isn't a growth, you could have been able to check it in either situation. So there are other Rishonim,
like the Rashba,
who feel that that is the case.
Because the problem in the Basar pulls you in that direction to say that even the Tzmachim that are found in the lungs come from that. It's no longer really a Safek Shakul.
The Balei Tosafot here have the most narrow scope of explanation, which is that it solely relates to the case where there are no Tzmachim, where there is no growth over there. Rav Nechemia, brother of Yosef, Badik La Bipshurek, that he used to check it in warm water. Now, the question of what he's doing here versus what Rava said is also a serious question. Tosafot again narrows the scope of his statement, and he says, Aika Riuta Bidofan Koi. He's saying this is the case where, after you cut it out, when there was no growth, and then you found that there was a problem in the wall lining, meaning in the basar, and therefore we attributed the problem to the basar and not to the lung. In that situation, he used to also then do this check, which is check it bipshure, which is that he used to put it into warm water. That's the check we know where you inflate the lungs inside the warm water to see if bubbles come out. Meaning that he's machmir over what Rava. Rava allowed you a dispensation when there was no growth there, according to Tosafot, to cut it out and then to check. You cut it out and you, sure enough, you found that there was a problem from the basar side, the outer side, not the lungs, and you attributed it to that. Even in that circumstance, we still want you to inflate it. That's what Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Yosef is saying. We want you to inflate it in warm water, not hot water because it seals up the hole, not cold water because it causes it to be brittle. Warm water, and then you inflate it to see if there's any air that comes out. So he is, in that sense, more machmir. And Rashi says the same thing, which is, they found a problem in the lining, not the lungs, but in the lining around, the basar that's around it. And we're going to attribute to that, you still need this additional test. Again, here, you could argue that Rav Nechemia ben Rav Yosef is coming to be Mekil. And that is in one of two ways. He's either coming to Mekil to say that, even though you didn't find a makah in the wall, we allow you to inflate it to test it. Or, more dramatic way you could say it, and this is what the Ramban suggests, is that he's saying this is an alternative check. That if you didn't check the wall and you didn't do anything, you simply inflated it and found that there was nothing wrong, that maybe that is sufficient. So those are more the kula inside of Rav Nechemia ben Rav Yosef, that he allows inflation either as a way to test it when you don't find a deficit in the basar, or it's in a situation where you didn't test or check the basar at all, you're just inflating the lungs to see, and that could be sufficient. So that would be reading it the kula. Both Rashi and the Balei Tosafot read it the chumrah, and say that he's adding on an additional requirement to what Rava said, that even when you find a problem in the basar that you can be tola at it and say it's not the lungs, it's the basar, you still have to check the lungs by inflating them in the warm water. And Tosafot finishes off with something that's important because it says, halachic ramifications to our practices today. He says, Vata noagim lahatrif kol hasirchot. Today, we are noag to make any sircha, any fibrous growth that is on a long into a trefa. Vein bogimotam. We don't even check them. Velo bedofan. Not on the wall, the basar that's around it. Velo bepshure, and not in warm water. Or in other words, what Tosafot is describing over here is glat kosher. That today, and the minha get developed, and the Ramah speaks about this. It's true of the sirkot that we spoke about in yesterday's daf, the ones between the lungs themselves, as well as those attaching the lungs to the lower part of the lungs, all the questions that arose over there. There's a number of sfekot that arise over here, one of which is the problem as to whether the sirkot over here are caused by a hole, and they're sealing up a hole, or the sirkot are an indication that they could tear and cause a hole. Then you had a second machloket with regards to Rashi versus the Rabbeinu Tam, whether the sirkot that are between the uma, which are the larger bottom part of the lungs, attached to the lobes above the onot, whether that causes it to be a trefa. There we had a machloket between them, whether that is or isn't the problem of sirkot. Then you had an additional machloket, where the Rabbeinu Chananel says that the sirkot are only good between the lobes when they actually seal from the base of the split of the lobe all the way up, not if it's just in different parts that there's these fibrous connections. And then beyond that, we have today's situation here where we're speaking about smachim, we're talking about growths on the lungs, and we'll see more of this later today. All of these raise serious spekot. So therefore, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah push away from checking or doing checks in these cases because, first of all, there are numerous opinions, and in those numerous opinions, there are many that are toreif, that say that it's a treifa. And even if we do have the test, we're not sure sometimes as to whether it's qualifying as a sircha, or the size, the color, all these different things that impact over here are difficult. And therefore, there was a minhag that developed among Bnei Ashkenaz, and as well as in Bnei Sfarad, that they only ate glat kosher, which means that they only ate lungs that were completely smooth and clean, that didn't have sirkot on them, in order to avoid all of these problems and all of these questions. As you can see here, the numerous explanations just for this little piece here in the Gemara, but if you add to that the multiplying effect of the Gemara that we saw yesterday with sirkot, there's so many opinions about the sirkot and what you have to check and how you can check and what is able to be checked and what's considered to be okay, that they pushed a little bit back on it and said maybe it's just not worth checking, and we would generally declare it a treifa and only eat glat kosher. The Ramah says, if you have tzmachim that grow on it and they can peel off, then it's not a problem. Again, this is only relevant by animals. It's not relevant by birds. So the use of glat kosher by birds is a meaningless statement. It's come to mean a higher standard of kashrut, because glat is not in sirkot. They're not things that appear by birds. They're not an issue by birds. They're an issue by animals. Therefore, glat is really a statement about the nature of the lungs. Today, again, the word has become a borrowed term, where it's come to mean a higher standard of kashrut, not just about the lungs, but about other kulot and chumrot with regards to kashrut. But nevertheless, Tosafot over here is already giving us an indication of this trend that's moving away from checking the sirkot, looking into the sirkot and saying that we're just better off calling it a treifa and not dealing with it because there are too many permutations, too many opinions over here, and so we'd rather not deal with it. It also might deal... Amalei marzutra breid ravuna breid rapapi the ravina hader of nechemia breid rav Yosef atun ahamat nitun la. You bring this statement, the rav nechemia breid rav Yosef, on this situation that we just discussed above. Anan adarava madninin la. We bring it with regards to a statement of Rava. Doma Rava hane tarte one dereya. This is again from the end of the daf 2 days ago, but we read it yesterday at the beginning of yesterday's daf, that if you have two lobes of the rea, of the lungs, the sricha nadodi, that are attached together, they have some fibrous material running between them. Leitlahu b'dikuta lakshure. There's no way to check it in order to make it kasher, because we have no idea whether there was a hole there, and it's covering up a hole, or whether that's going to cause a hole in the future, but you already checked the animal, there's no way to know. Again, we're speaking about lobes that are not adjacent to each other, because there the Gemara says that if they're adjacent to each other, that was a natural thing and actually would hold in place and not break. Even though you still have the difference in opinion as to whether that's true in any sircha, or is that true only if the sircha seals it all the way from the base across, which was the shita of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Tosafot said that we didn't find any mesorah like that
even though the Rabbeinu Hananel brought it, that they didn't find any such Mesorah, nevertheless, that becomes one of the Sfeikot that we have with Sirchot. But assuming here that we're dealing with something that's not adjacent, they're not next to each other, and you have a Sircha between them, Rava makes the statement, there's no way to check them, they're problematic. So now, on that, we have the statement of Rav Nechemiah Breda Rav Yosef, Badek Lab Pshure, that he used to check it with warm water, that he used to inflate it and see if anything came out of it. So Matkifla Ravashi, Ravashi challenges that. Hi, Mai, how can you say such a thing? Bishlam Ahokal, when we did it, meaning that the case that we used it for, which was the case of the lungs being attached to the basar, the flesh that is around that area, over there, Talinan Vidofan. If you inflate the lungs and nothing comes out, then you assume that the lungs were fine and the problem was from the side of the basar, Ukshera, and therefore you could declare it Ukshera. Avahatam, Ihai Nakiv, Trefa, Bihai Nakiv, Trefa. What's your option over here? Now this is very supportive of Rashi's reading of the Gemara yesterday versus the Rabbeinu Hananel, and the Tosafot brings this as a question on the Rabbeinu Hananel. Yesterday we discussed that what is the cause or problem with the sircha. Rashi says that a sircha is caused by a hole that leached liquid that caused the fibrous material to grow, and therefore when you see the sircha, that's an indication of there being a hole there. There was a hole there. The problem with that is then, if a hole is a trefa, why does the sealing of it help? And that's what Balei Tosafot expressed, we saw the Rishonim express, that maybe it's not a trefa if it can be sealed properly. The question is, what's considered to be a good seal? And then we spoke about organ on top of organ, or adjacent lobes. Maybe over there it's tight enough where we feel that it's good enough of a seal, and therefore it takes away the problem of trefa. Or we have to wait and see when a hole comes about that it's only a trefa if it doesn't seal properly, and that is a proper seal. Whereas when it's stretched away from each other, that's an improper seal, or that will break away, and then it will be a trefa. So over here, the Gemara sounds exactly like that, which is, here you have two lobes that are attached to each other, and the Gemara says, Mimonovshach, one of the two lobes had a hole in it. Why was there fibrous material between these two lobes? The only reason that you'd have fibrous material is because one of the two lobes had a hole in it. That sounds exactly like Rashi. For the Rabbeinu Hananel who says that the fibrous material grows and then it splits or puts tension on the lobe and causes a hole, then why does the Gemara assume here that one of the two has a hole in it? Neither of them have a hole in it. It should say that Shema Intiv, one of them will tear. In the future it will happen. Not that it happened already. And this was shown of the Gemara that Balei Tosafot quoted yesterday is supportive of Rashi's view. But what the point they're making is that when you have this fibrous material between the lungs and the basar, and then you inflate the lungs and you find there's nothing leaking from the lungs, then you could say the lungs were fine, the problem was with the basar. And problem with the basar is not a trefa. On the other hand, if you say that you're doing this for two lungs that are attached by fibrous material, you inflate it, and say, ah, you know what, there's no leak over here, everything's fine. Well then, what's your choice? You have to explain the evidence that's there, which is the fibrous material, came from something. It must have come from either a hole in one lobe or a hole in the other lobe. Either way, you have a hole in a lobe, and that's problematic. So that's what he's saying. I don't understand how you can apply it to this din of Rava. You need to apply it to a case where there's an alternative explanation as to why there's a problem here that isn't a trefa. Without that, it doesn't make sense to use this as a test. And therefore, he says, I don't know how you're applying it to the case of Rava. You should be applying it to the case that we quoted on with Avime Umi Amar Rav Nachman Ochi. Now the Gemara goes back to the beginning and challenges whether Rav Nachman ever said such a thing. Rav Nachman made a statement that he had lungs that are up against the dofan, against the ribs, against the basar over there. Ein choshishin la. If there's some attachment between them, we don't worry about it. Heltatz machim. If it had some sort of growth there, choshishin la, we do worry about it. Miklal, deep shikol on the nikva areya. If it was clear to us that there was a hole in the lungs, lo mahani la stima dofan, then the dofan wouldn't help. It's only because there was a growth there. We worry about the growth that's there, but we don't assume there is a hole there. We only worry about it. Yet, if we knew there was a hole there, we wouldn't rely on it. Is that really true? Amar Rav Yosef bar Nume, Amar Rav Nachman, so this is coming from Nachman, Reya Shenikva, if you have a Reya that had a hole in it, Vidofen Sot Mata Kshera, and the wall seals it up, then it is Kshera. Over here, we're saying that even if there's a hole in it, we rely on this plug to take care of it and to keep it intact. Lo kasha, hatam b'makom revita, hacha shalom b'makom revita. It depends whether it's in the place that Rashi uses the term revita to mean it's natural growth,
or in a place where there is no natural growth, it doesn't naturally grow there. V'hecha makom revita, where is the area where it's natural growth? Chituche de'one, in the cuts or the area of the lobes. So what they're speaking about here is that the thoracic cavity, which is the area in between the ribs where the lung sits, narrows as it moves towards the front of the animal. And the lungs are somewhat shaped in that way. The lungs are narrow in the front and widened towards the back. That's the umma, are the two back lobes of the lung, which are much bigger and wider. Those that sit below windpipe at the way end of the lungs. The lobes that are in the front are much more narrow and are pressed in by the narrowing of the thoracic cavity towards the front of the animal. And so what he's suggesting over here is that there's a difference as to where the growths happen. That difference is caused by the narrowness of the scope of the thoracic area. The narrower it is, the more likely it is that the covering or the seal up will remain, because the item will always remain pressed against the walls of the behemah, and it won't separate away from it. Then as you move away from the front of the animal towards the back of the thoracic cavity, it widens significantly. In that area, there'll be tension between the lobes and the walls of the ribs or the basar, which will tear it away or cause there to be a rip or not seal properly. Then Rashi makes two statements here about the halacha. He first says, "Ach yavime svirlan, we pass them like avime, the choshishin la, ulukumraz lina bidoraita." There we are choshesh for a problem of tzmachim, unlike what Rav Nachman said, because it's a din deoraita, and we're going to pass from the chumra, wherever we have a suffix between avime and Rav Nachman, we're going to go like avime, because we have a suffix deoraita, we're going to go the chumra. But he does say that, ubaha hilchotok Rav Nachman. Here, the halacha is like Rav Nachman, the leket the poligale, that there's no one who argues on him, meaning that when you have a sealing of a hole based on the fact that it's pressured in the area where it's growing, meaning that the area where it's growing along with the ribs and the pressure remains there, that narrow area of the thoracic cavity, that will never separate, and therefore whatever is sealing it up there will remain sealed, and it's not a problem. Whereas the problem that we're talking about above is where it's further down the thoracic cavity, where actually the cavity expands and moves away from the lungs itself. Therefore, if there's an attachment or some sort of plug, fibrous connections that is blocking up the hole, there will be pressure on that, and it will loosen or dislodge over time because there's nothing holding it in place. There we worry about it. Amar Avina, Gufa, Amar Rav Yosef Ben Neume, Amar Rav Nachman, Reya Shenikva, V'dofan, Sobtmata, Kishayra. Rav Nachman says if you have a hole in the lung and then the basar covers it up, that's kshira, and we said again, this is only towards the front of the thoracic cavity, where that works. And Ravina now qualifies that and says, the subik v'bisra. That's only if it's entangled in the basar. As Rashi notes over here, it means misbechet v'nechezet. It's strongly entangled, tied into the basar. The word sibuch comes like wool that gets tangled up. And Rashi makes the point that that's different than the tzla'ot, the ribs. It's only true if it's attached to the basar, not if it's attached to the ribs. The ribs only have a sircha that runs between them, which is that fibrous material. That's not enough of a strong seal that it won't tear apart. It has to be with the basar, where the connection between them is much deeper, stronger, and that's where it will provide a protective cover to the lung, and it won't be a problem. So Rashi clearly makes a distinction between sircha and sibcha. And he says the difference is between basar and tzla'ot. Difference between flesh and bones. Flesh, it can make an attachment that will remain permanent. With bones, it can't do that. With the tzla'ot, it can't do that. That's Rashi reading of the Gemara over here and the qualification of Ravina to Rav Nachman's statement. You look in the Balei Tosafot, Uvetshuvat Rav Sar Shalom Gaon Katav, the Ben Sarich V'Sabich, Ben Lo Sabich V'Sarich Kshera. He makes the point that Ben Sarich V'Sabich, if you have a boat that it has sabich and sarich, it has both this attachment to the basar and the fibers grow there, ben lo sabich misarich, or there's no sibuch there and only a sricha, kshera. That's exactly what Rashi didn't say. Rashi said that it's only b'sibuch, not when you have a sircha. Tosfot over here is suggesting that Rav Sar Shalom Gaon is saying that whether it's a sircha or a sabich, either one of them is okay. Why? The late Hilchotok Ravina, I look Rav Nachman. That's because Halacha is not like Ravina, it's like Rav Nachman. Damareya Shenikva V'Dofen Sot Matak Shera. Meaning that Rav Nachman made a statement without qualifying the statement. The Ravina lo bala feresh to Rav Shel Rav Nachman. That Ravina is not coming to define, qualify Rav Nachman's statement. He's arguing on Rav Nachman and saying that I think it has to be this in order for Rav Nachman's statement to be correct. But the Chay Nira, Tosfot says that the flow of the Gemara seems to be that way based on the questions the Gemara asked, because it could have answered before. When it brought the Stira and Rav Nachman, it could have answered, Haida Sabich, Haida Lo Sabich. If you held like Ravina, the answer to when Rav Nachman says it's a good seal and not a good seal, maybe the difference between whether it is Sabich or not Sabich. The fact that the Gemara didn't bring that answer shows you don't think Rav Nachman holds like that. And so therefore, he says that Ravina is actually a different statement and not a qualification of Rav Nachman. And Rav Sar Shalom says, we're going to paskin like Rav Nachman, not like Ravina. And that means that Sircha or Sibuch, either one of those are good enough as a seal. So that argues on Rashi. Rashi says that only a Sibuch works, and he thinks that Ravina successfully qualifies Rav Nachman, and that's the halacha in that way. Tzla'ot don't work, Basar does work. Rav Sar Shalom says, doesn't matter. As long as you have a Sibuch or a Sircha, either one of those work. Tosfot then says, Miu lo yodina and menalesh lo yehalacha ki Ravina. Shehu batra. Ravina and Ravashi are the end of the Amoraim. They're the end of the Gemara. And we generally have a position with the Gras Halacha that we pass them like batra. We pass them like the ladder of the Amoraim. And Ravina is amongst those ladder of the Amoraim. And therefore over here we should have passed them like Ravina over Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is Rova's Rebbe. And Ravina is a peer to Ravashi. Ravashi's born after Rava dies. So Ravina is significantly after Rav Nachman, and the halacha should have been like him. It says, "V'shema ein ze Ravina stama shehu b'chol hashas she'achamirosh Ravashi." Maybe this isn't the Ravina that we know at the end of the Gemara, who was Ravashi's peer. Maybe it's not him. Shnola b'yom shemed Rava. Again, Ravashi was born the day that Rava died. U'medavar Rav Yosef la'shiv al dvarav. So here the Gemara quotes right after this that Rav Yosef says something to Ravina. Now Rav Yosef is a peer with Rabba, who's more on the third generation of Amoraim, close to the time of Rav Nachman. And if he's speaking to Ravina, this is clearly not Ravina that is Ravashi's peer. So he wants to suggest that there were two Ravinas, which is true. They shouldn't even call one the Ravina Hazakein or Ravina Hakadmon. There is an earlier Ravina who's a peer in the time of Rabba, Rav Yosef, Rav Nachman in that time period. And then there's a Ravina in the time of Ravashi. And the truth is, in the time of Ravashi, there are numerous Ravinas as well there. Tosafot in other places says there were two Ravinas, one of which was the one who closed the Gemara with Ravashi, but there are other Ravinas as well, and it creates a lot of confusion amongst the Rishonim as to many times which Ravina that we're speaking about and what type of weight does he carry in the terms of Psach. So that's Tosafot in defense of Rav Shar Solom Gaon. Then he brings with Chotrei Fotch Rabbeinu Gershom, which we saw quoted yesterday as well. Rabbeinu Gershom says, Katav Dereya Smucha LeDofan. If you have a Reya that's up against the wall, Afim Mekom Revitayu Deone. If it's in the place where it grows, meaning up at the front of the thoracic cavity where it's narrow, Visrucha Visabucha Babasar. And it's both attached, well attached, entrenched into the Basar, and has the fibrous connections between them. Shebenetz La'ot. Whether it's on the ribs or in between the ribs with the basar, but kinala beneficha imatzalot, you inflate the lungs while it's still attached to the ribs, ogorana basar imasircha, or you slice them off the ribs with the sircha staying with the lungs, umenaprimoda, and then you have to inflate it. So he makes a demand for an additional test over here. Rav Nachman never made this qualification. Rav Nachman simply said, if it's well entrenched in the front of the thoracic cavity, then even if there was a hole, but it was sealed up, that's okay, because it's not going to dislodge. It's not going to come apart. The Ravinu Gershom over here demands an additional test. Even though that's true, you need to inflate it to see that the hole is really sealed. Either you inflate it in place with the ribs, or you slice it out with the growths on it so that they don't cause the ripping of the tearing of the lungs. If it inflates, then it's fine. Because that shows that the plug or whatever is covering the fibrous material is sotemet at the neck end, seal the hold, and that hold won't come apart because it's makom revitayu. Then he quotes Rashi. So here you have three different opinions as how to explain this Gemara of Ravina. You have Rashi who says that he's making a statement that qualifies Rav Nachman. It says Rav Nachman's din solely applies to basar, not to tzlaot. It doesn't apply to the ribs, only applies to the basar. It only applies when it's sabich, something much stronger than a sircha. That's when it works. That's Rashi's qualification.
Rav Sar Shalom is on the opposite end. He said, it doesn't matter. Sircha, Simcha, whatever you want, that works, because we don't paskin like Ravina. We paskin like Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman doesn't necessarily agree with Ravina. Ravina might be arguing on Rav Nachman or saying something of his own. And therefore we don't paskin like him, we paskin like Rav Nachman, and then Tosfot had to qualify that and say, this isn't the Ravina that we know, that the closing of the Gemara, the Batra. And then you have the Rabbeinu Gershom, who says, like the Rav Sar Shalom, that it doesn't matter whether it's a Basar, Sabich, or Sircha, he requires that you have them, but nevertheless, he wants you to test it, even when they're there, to make sure that it inflates. So even though we paskin that you need either Sabichat HaBasar or Sircha, it's not just enough that it's adjacent to the Basar, he still requires you to inflate it to make sure that the hole is actually plugged, and that there's no loss of air through there. So Amar Lei Rav Yosi the Ravina, Vilo Sabich, Mai. According to you, and this is where Tosfot says this Ravina can't be the Ravina Batra, because he's speaking, Rav Yosef is speaking to him. Now, truth is, the Gemara in many places creates these conversations, even though they never really existed. The Gemara will take people who never saw each other, or generations that are out of order, ask a question, and have another generation answer the question. Over there, it's a little harder, because he says, Amar Lei Rav Yosef the Ravina. He said to Ravina, which makes it sound like he really spoke to him, which more likely makes it that it's Ravina HaKadmon, the earlier Ravina. Bilo Sabich Mai, if it doesn't attach to the Bistra, you're going to tell me Trefa? Alma Amrina Nikuvahi. That's the case, you're telling me that it has a hole in it. Ihochi ki sabich nami. Then if that's the case, when the basar covers it up and it's attached to the basar, well, that should also be a problem. The Ha'atanyo, we have a breita. Nikev pasul. If a man has a hole in his member, which then causes it that he can't have a flow of semen, Ibneshahu shotate, because it drips instead of flowing. He can only have it drip out because of the hole in the piping there. Then he's pasul lavo bakal. He can't join the cow because he is now disqualified. One of the disqualifications of Krot Shifcha, someone who has one of these psulim that doesn't allow you to join the cow because you can't reproduce. Nistam, if that hole is sealed up, kasher, mibneshuhu molit. That's fine because now the semen will flow properly and it won't be an issue. So you see that there is an ability to seal up a hole that exists. This is an example of a psul that can be rectified, can be fixed, it can return to its former state. This is a case like that, but there aren't other cases like that. What does that come to be, Mayate? Isn't it coming to exclude our case, where you have a nekev, and then it was sealed up, that's not successful at bringing it back to its kashrut? Lo, it comes to exclude a case, Krum, Shalom, Achmat, Makah, Bereya, Deinu Krum. That comes to exclude a case, again, that we saw yesterday's daf, which is that if you have some sort of plug or growth that fills in a hole that came from an injury to the lungs, that doesn't stay in place. Deinu Krum, it's not considered to be a seal over there. And once again, there we differentiated between a air open area of the lungs, where there's no pressure on it that will dislodge over time, or where there's tension between lobes that causes that, that we're going to think that doesn't hold, the seal won't hold in that case. That's not our case over here. Our case over here, where it's sabich b'basar, where it's really tied into the flesh that's there between the tzlaot, according to Rashi, or even for the others, that it's pressed up against the ribs, there the tension is actually running in your favor. It's actually causing pressure to hold it in place rather than to dislodge it. And in that case, we'll say that it's fine. And that'll be the distinction, as well as that the miut that comes from the case by the reproductive system, where it says that works, doesn't work anywhere else, doesn't work in cases where you just have a standalone plug in the lungs that won't hold. Matkif la ravukva barchama. Ilu inkav bedofan lahada mai. What would happen if there was a hole in the basar that was now plugging up the hole in the lung? The lung had a hole in it. That's what caused there to be an attachment between the lung and the basar, and they sealed together. So the basar now is creating a cover for the hole and protecting it. That's why it's not a trefa. What happens if the basar itself gets a hole in it? In that location where the hole is in the lung, trefa. It would be a trefa because now the hole doesn't have a seal on it because it now has a channel through the basar that causes the hole to be open. He challenges that solution to a problem because it says, litnei, then why doesn't our Mishnah include as one of the trefot, nikuvat hadofan? Why doesn't he speak about a hole in the sidewall, in the basar that's there, because that also can be a trefa. Says Velita Meich, according to your reasoning, Adam, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, that we saw
Again, earlier, marak, shenikva. If you have a gallbladder that has a hole in it, vikaved sotmata, which is pressed up against the liver, and the organ itself, the liver itself, covers the hole, kshera. That's fine. Ilo inkav kaved lehada. If you had a hole in the liver all the way through to where the hole is in the gallbladder, my, what would have been the din? Trefa. So then, according to that, litnei nikuvata kaved. Then the Mishnah should have mentioned that a hole in the liver could also be a trefa, because the hole in the liver matches up with the hole in the gallbladder. That would also be a trefa. Ella, kinikva, delabmine mitrefa, lotoni. It's clear that the Mishnah doesn't speak about holes that don't inherently make that organ into a trefa. It only speaks about a hole that makes that organ into a trefa. A hole in another organ that happens to be on top of another organ that has a hole, that it doesn't speak about. Hakanami in our case too. Kev delabmine mitrefa. The hole in the basar in of itself is not something that makes it into a trefa. Lotoni, it doesn't write it. It happens to be in that one unique case. But there's a hole in the basar that happens to be opposite a hole in the lung, that will be a problem. But that's not something the Mishnah is going to address, because the real problem is the hole in the lung. The question is the hole sealed or not sealed? And that's the question of whether there's a hole in the basar or not in the basar. Boiminei Rabba Barachana Mishmuel. Rabba Barachana Yashmuel. Helatat smachim mahu. What happens if there are growths over there? What happens if you have something that is a tzmachim? And Rashi Govir said tzarechim is manalats or manmats, which he also quoted above with regards to the tzmachim. And we're going to see in a second that tzmachim are synonymous with what's called mugla, or mugla, which is pus. That there's not just something that's sitting there, but there's actually liquid pus, or that's contained within whatever growth that is there. Mao, what's the din? I'm like, shera. I think it's totally fine. And as Tosafot points out, this is distinct from the cases before we said Choshishimla, because there was Srucha Ladofen. It was attached to the wall. The Mukhra Milta is a Sircha Mamchant Neke, because that's circumstantial evidence that it's coming from a hole. Over here, these are independent standing Smachim growths on the lung. They're not attached to anything. And that's why over here, we are Notele Hakshir to the side of being Makshir rather than Choshishimla that we saw before with regards to the connections between the lungs and the walls around it. So Amar Lei, so Rabba Bar Chana says back to Shmuel, Apani Omer Kein, I think the same thing as you, that it's fine. Elisha Talmidim Mizdanzin Badavar. The students don't really think that it's correct. They are a Megam game. They're uncertain as to whether I'm right about this. Damar Rav Matna, because they have a Mesorah from Rav Matna, Malya Mugla Trefa. If the growth is full of pus, then it is a trefa. Mayim zakim kshera. Then it has clear water in it, then it is kshera. Now, mayim tzulim can be from one or two perspectives. It can be tzulim from the clearness of the water. Pus is cloudy, and water is clear. That could be the mayim zakim. Or mayim zakim can be from the viscosity side, which is pus is very viscous, and it flows slowly. Whereas mayim zakim means that it's clear water, it flows easily. So it could be one of those two differentiations. But his point is that when you have something, and Rashi says over here, smachim hainu mugla, they are synonymous. The pus that's inside of these growths, or these growths, they have pus in them, they're the same thing. And so now, if you have a statement from Matna, when there's pus inside that it's a trefa, then why is it that I'm saying it's okay when there's a growth of smachim there? Samalei, Shmuel says back to him, that was said about the kidneys. Ramatna's statement is about the kidneys. If the kidneys have a growth, they have something that's full of pus, that's a trefa. If it has clear water inside of it, then it's not a problem. But that's unique to the kidneys. That's not a general statement about growths on lungs or growths in other areas of the body. And therefore, the fact that you and I say that it's kshera is totally fine, and the student shouldn't be questioning you from the memra of Rav Matna. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Hamagaza Patrei de Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef was going after his Rebbe, Rav Yirmiya, Meshuka, the Tabche, in the butcher's market. Chazinu la'anaf de kaimin simche simche. He saw meat hanging in the butcher's shuk, where there were lungs that had these growths on it. So they had these ulcers, or growths on them that had pus in them. Amar lei, lo bayi mar umtza? Don't you want a nice piece of meat over here? Pointing to those lungs. Says, I'm a lay, lately prete. Says, I don't have enough money for it. I didn't carry cash on me. I can't buy it now. I'm a lay, akfan ana. Says, I'll lend you. I'll get you credit. Either I'll lend you money, or the butchers will give me credit, and they'll let you buy it on credit. So what
Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef was trying to figure out is whether Rav Yirmiya would eat this type of meat. Would he eat the basar that had lungs that had smachim on it? So the way that he did it was by asking him, let's buy some meat over here. He's encouraging him to buy the meat. And Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Yirmiya is pushing back on him and saying, I'm not going to buy the meat. And now the truth comes out and he says, Amalei ma'avid l'cha. What can I do for you? Or in essence, I'm not going to get out of this. I know what you're trying to do. Let me explain to you why I'm not going to buy it. Dechi atu lekamei derab Yochanan, mishadilu lekamei derab Yehuda berabbi Shimon, demori ba mishmein derab Elazar berabbi Shimon le'teira. Velei lo svirle. The problem is that I'm a Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan refused to paskin on cases like this. Anytime a case like this came in front of him, he would send the case off to Rabbi Yehuda berabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda berabbi Shimon got Masorah from his grandfather, Rabbi Elazar berabbi Shimon, who is Rabbi Elazar berabbi Shimon, is the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and his grandson, Rabbi Yehuda, is who we're speaking about here. But they had a Masorah directly from Rabbi Elazar berabbi Shimon, the Teira, who's Matirin. So Rabbi Yochanan refused to see these cases. He would send these cases off to Rabbi Yehuda berabbi Shimon, Velelo Sfirle, but he himself would not deal with it. The question is, what does that mean, Velelo Sfirle? Rashi says over here, Rabbi Yochanan Sfirle Lachshure. He would not be matirit. Umitraf nami no abi tarifla. He also wouldn't make it into a trefa. The lo shmiel le mirape. Rashi just said he had no mesora. So he didn't want to paskin on it. He couldn't be matir because he didn't have a mesora had there. He couldn't be matrif because he didn't have a mesora le trefa. So he sent it off to someone who did have a mesora. So according to Rashi, there has a safek over here. And he didn't know what to do with it. And therefore he sent it off to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who did have a mesora. And who was Matir. So that's one way to read it. The other way to read it is that Rabbi Yochanan did know what he wanted to do. He wanted to be Matir. He was going to make it into a trefa. But he knew that he was in the minority. That he was not the way that most of them paskin. And therefore he sent it off to someone who would be Matir. Because he would follow the position of the majority. And he had a Masorah. So he sent the people who came with those questions off to him. Instead of giving up Sak and being Matir. But that means he himself would not eat it. He himself thought it was a trefa. Suppose the Rashi who thinks that he thinks it's a fake. He doesn't have any indication. There are those that believe that he thought it was a trefa. So now he sends it off to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And some even say that possibly that he even sent it to them. He basically said, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon says it's okay over here. He doesn't give a psak. He just says that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon has a mesora. This is his psak over here. And he didn't give his psak at all with regards to this. So what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is that I can't buy it. My Rebbe is Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan himself wouldn't eat this meat, not because necessarily, according to Rashi, it was a trefa, just he didn't know what to do. According to others, yes, he thought it was a trefa, but I'm not going to eat it, and that's why even if you press me or corner me, I'm not going to buy it. But that doesn't mean that it's asur necessarily, because we have another opinion or dissenting view that it is mutar. So first of all, you learn a lot of things from this, one of which is that Rabbi Yirmiyah was knowing a chumrah in himself, but he didn't go around broadcasting that chumrah. Even when Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef asked him to buy the meat, he tried to get out of it by saying, I don't have money. He didn't go automatically and say, oh, I keep this chumrah, I don't eat this type of stuff. He tried to wiggle out of it until he was cornered. And once he was cornered, he explained his position. That's number one, very important perspective, that if you're a machmir about something, you don't have to impose it on others, and you don't even have to tell others about your chumrah. You should try to just do it in your way, quietly. If you're cornered, then you have to say something about it, then you say something about it. But otherwise, you don't broadcast that chumrah. Number two is, Rabbi Yochanan, who, either according to Rashi, didn't have a mesorah, and therefore he wasn't just machmir because he didn't have a mesorah, he sent them to someone who did have a mesorah and who was matir, even though he himself didn't have such a mesorah and he would have been machmir. Or according to those that say that he was inclined to say it's a trefa, but he didn't do it because he was a minority opinion, again, you see something that when you have a position, but you realize that the majority is against your position, you should send people to someone who has a Masorah who's going to pass on like the majority, and not necessarily promote your position, because you know that it's a minority position. Maybe you're Talmidim, that's fine. But people who come to ask Shilohs, you should send them over to other people who have the majority position. Again, two important issues with regards to Psak Halacha that come out of these stories over here. Amar Rava. Rabbi says, when we were walking behind Rav Nachman in the leather shuk of the leather workers, and some say it was in the shuk of the Rabbanon, which is no clear explanation of what that means, whether that means that that's where they allowed the Talmidei Chachamim to put their wares out, so they got special privileges, whether that means where the Rabbanan went in general, they used to be congregate there, or they used to teach nearby there. It's not clear what this Shulchan der Rabbanan was. Chazi Anach, the Kaimin, Kande, Kande. There were these pieces of meat hanging with lungs that had large tumors on them. Rashi says that Kande, Kande are Tzmachim, Gidolim, Veidim, Bereya. They are large tumors that have grown on the lungs, so they're bigger than the Tzmachim. They're on the lungs. Below Amarlo, below Mide. And he didn't dissuade the butchers from selling such meat. That meat's hanging in the window. And Rav Nachman's walking by there, and he doesn't say anything to the butchers. You better take that down. That's a treifa. That's an implicit statement that whatever he's seeing is okay. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Abu Chalfe, Mishuka de Tveria. They were passing through the marketplace, again, where the butchers were in Tveria. Chazi Hanach, the Kaime, Tinore, Tinore. So then they saw meat that was hanging that had lungs on them that had Smachim Gdolim Mikande. Rashi says these are even bigger. They are larger than the kande that we're seeing before, but they're different in that they're hard. They're solid with the tumors or solid growths on the lungs. They don't have the liquid like the smachim and the kande that have this pus inside of them. This is already further along and it's already dried out the pus, but they're larger and harder. Below Amrihil, below Mide. And again, they didn't say anything to the butchers over there to say that they were treifot. The fact that he didn't say anything is an implicit condoning of that meat being kasher. And Rashi then makes the statement, Ve'eluhein otanam etzuyim bebehemot shelanu bereya. These are the types of things that we find on the lungs of our animals. These large, dried out growths. That's what we find. Ve'en marhem domeh bereya. But they don't look like the lung itself. They definitely look like a growth that's on top of the reya, on the lung. Eldomim kamare maz mugla. They have an appearance like pus, or in essence, it's probably dried out pus. That's what this growth is on the top. Blavainu atum bereya. That's not a case where the lung is sealed, meaning that the problem is that the lung had a part of it that was full of liquid and therefore didn't inflate that area. Datum ein sham tzemach. When you have something where the lung is blocked and there's liquid inside one of the lobes of the lung, that's internal to the lung. That's not a growth that sits on the outside of the lung. Ve'enu mishtaneh minareya. And it doesn't look any different than the lung itself when there's liquid in there or something blocking that inflation. El she'enu ola b'nefikha. It just doesn't inflate. It's not a growth. So Rashi says that these growths that are being mentioned over here in the Gemara, they find them in the animals that they have. These very large growths that have hardened over time. Rashi says they seem to appear to have come from pus that was there before, so they are tzmachim. And over here we had three different forms of these tzmachim, all of which seemingly were the heter, which is that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon was matur the tzmachim. In the case of the kande, which were the larger tumors, there Rabbi Nachman seemingly implicitly condoned that it was okay. And here we have Rabbi Amir Rashi saying by the ones that Rashi sees that saying that those are okay as well. Itmar. So now we move on to the section of the Gemara, which is very difficult. This is about needles that are found in the internal organs of the animal. Itmar machad shenimse bereya. There is a needle that was found inside of the lung. Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, makshire. They all say that it's fine. There's no problem. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Mani bar Patish, Rabbi Shimon ben Al-Yokim Tarfe. They say it's problematic. Lema v'hakamiflige. Let's say their arguments about this. The marsavar chisaron mibifnim shmei chisaron. That the deficit inside the lungs is a treifa. Marsavar lo shmei chisaron. It's not a problem. So the initial understanding is that the needle that's inside the lungs, we're assuming that there is no hole that was found there. We have no indication of the needle penetrating the lungs, causing a hole in the lungs. It's just internal to the lungs. So now, why would you say that it's a treifa? So our initial understanding is that the problem is that the needle itself, which doesn't cause any chisaron bifnim, it's sharp. It'll just penetrate there. It's not going to cause any problem. But Rashi says that over time, it will rust, and it will cause deterioration around it, and will cause a chisaron in the lung around the needle. So because of that reason, maybe the ones who are metarefir are worried about chisaron. And that chisaron, according to them, is a deficit in the lung. And that's why they say it's a treifa. Those that say it's kosher think that internal deficits in the lungs aren't problematic. As long as it's sealed on the outside, it's fine. And that would be the machloka between them. It says, lo, the koyama chisaron mibifnim, lo shmei chisaron. Everybody agrees that a deficit internally is not called a deficit. And that will then accord with what we saw yesterday in the Gemara, that if you have a lung that the liquids are floating in around it, kikaiton, that has liquids floating around it like a pitcher, that that's not considered to be a problem with the lung. As long as, according to some, that the bronchi were still intact, then that's fine. But liquidation is not a problem, or chisaron bifnim is not considered to be a problem. So that everybody agrees to. And as Rashi points out, the Gemara could have gone in the other direction and say, kuliyama, chisaron bifnim, shmei chisaron. The problem with that is then, by definition, you're going to have to be mitareif over here, because the needle, as Rashi said before, always causes a chisaron over time. Just because of its rusting, it will cause deterioration around it. So that's why the Gemara went in this way and says, v'hacha, v'hacha miflegeh. This is the machloket between them over here. Mar sabar, simpona nakat v'atai. The needle entered through the trachea, and that's how it got into the lungs. Mar sabar, nikuvi naki v'atai. Needle came through the digestive system, and the only way that it could have gotten there was by puncturing the lungs on its way there. So the machloket is, we find the needle inside the lung. There's no indication of any hole in the lung. We don't have any evidence that there's a problem. What is our assumption now? Do we assume that the needle got there in the less likely scenario, which is that somehow the animal swallowed the needle, it went down the wrong pipe. It went down the windpipe instead of down the esophagus. Somehow it made its way down, or somehow he inhaled it and it went down the trachea. And now it's making its way down the trachea through the bronchi into the lung. And that's what you found. You found the needle in the lung, but the lung is totally intact. We don't have to worry about a tracheal at all. Or do you assume that the more likely scenario is true, which is the animal swallowed it, it went down through the digestive system, and then it punctured its way out of the digestive system, either out of one of the stomachs, out of the small intestines, and then it made its way through back into the lungs. So by definition, there's a trefa here, because first of all, it exited from the small intestines or stomachs where a hole is enough to make it into a trefa, and it also had to penetrate the lungs in order to get in there. So according to those that are makshir, Rashi says we have a principle. For something that's a deficit that we can't see, we don't make a chazaka. Over here, what's in front of us is a needle in the lungs. There's no evidence that it came in from the outside. It came from an external side. And therefore, we're going to assume that it came in a less likely manner, because we don't find any evidence to the contrary. Whereas those that are mitareif say, you got to work with the percentages. The probability of this needle getting here is much higher that it came through the digestive system than the respiratory system. If that's the case, it definitely was a trefa on its way there. And Rashi says over here, the hilchata ka'anach rabbonah de makshire. The locha is like the rabbonah that are makshire over here. Taha Rabbi Yochanan v'esh lokesh alocha ka Rabbi Yochanan. Amongst those that are arguing over here are Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the two sides. And when you have Rabbi Yochanan versus Reish Lakish, the locha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Ve'od, the kamle b'shitayu, Ravashi and Rabbi Ami are actually going to hold of this position. And therefore, they're going to say, lo makzika nisura, hove nekev nikarbo. We're not going to be makzik isur if we can't find a hole. The dafka, that's only true, kiata kula rei al kaman. If you have the entire lung in front of you. Meaning that, if you have the entire lung and you can see there's no hole, then you have evidence of the fact that there's not a re'uta, there's nothing there that's a deficit. And therefore, we're going to assume, chazaka, that it's a kshera, and we'll have to think of an unusual way for it to get there, because we don't have evidence to the contrary. On the other hand, if you only have a part of the lung, then you can make the assumption that we have a re'uta now. Because there, the higher percentage outcome in that situation is that it came through the digestive system, punctured the lungs and got in there. You just don't have the part of the lung where the hole is, and therefore you can't investigate. There you have a re'uta. There you have a problem, and then we're going to go with the probabilities and say that it is a problem. So that's Rashi, the Gabi Apsak here, in these two opinions. We're going to see the Gemara develop with these two opinions in a second. Hay machto, dishtakach mihiducha dereya. There was a case where they found a needle in a cut of the lungs. Aitua lekameh de Rabbi Ami. They brought it before Rabbi Ami. Sover lakshura. He wanted to be makshirit like those that were makshir above, that said that the needle got there coming through the respiratory system, not through the digestive system. Eitvei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Vitema Rabbi Zrika, Rabbi Yirmiyah challenged that view. And some say Rabbi Zika. Hareya shenikva osher chasra. If you have a lung that has a puncture in it or is missing something from it, then it's a trepa. That's our Mishnah. My chasera, what is missing? Ilei Rabbi Bachutz, if it's an external missing of the lung, hanu nikva. That's just a greater form of a hole. If a hole is enough, even without chasera, then if you're missing a piece of the lung, certainly that's going to be a trepa. You don't need that. Elalami bifnim. It must be that there's an internal deficit. So therefore, you see that something internally missing in the lungs is going to be problematic. And this needle that's there, whether it came through the respiratory system or the digestive system, in the end, that needle is going to cause a chisaron in the lungs, and that should have been a deficit in of itself. So Rabbi Ami then sent it off to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka to see what he would say about this. Because both Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka and Rabbi Ami were students of Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Ami sent it to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka to see if he would pass him like Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan was machshir. That's why he was leaning to be machshir, and he sent it over to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka to see if he would also be matir. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka returns the favor, sends it back to Rabbi Ami to see if he will pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Tosafot over here says, Lo mipnei shekibel l'kushiyatam, k'deperish b'kushis. Rashi says the same thing over here, Lo mishum hachkushya. Not because of the question of Rabbi Yirmiya, did he send it off to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. He sent it off to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka because he didn't know what to do over here. Because we have an answer, as Tosafot says, to the question of Rabbi Yirmiya. We answered that in yesterday's daf, and we said that it's according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says that a hole is not enough to make it into a trefa, only if it punctures main bronchi is it a problem, then you need to teach us that a chisaron is problematic. A nekev is not a problem unless it hits the main bronchi. But a chisaron, according to Rabbi Shimon, is a problem. That part of the Mishnah is I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. And that's the answer how you can deal with this issue. So we do have an answer to the question. So it can't be because of Rabbi Yirmiya's question. Wait a minute. When we saw this question last, guess who was the one who was asking the question? Rabbi Ami was the one asking the question. Now he's in front of a psak, and someone else is asking him the question that he asked to Ula before. So what you have to say is that when Ula answered him, that it's according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Ami accepted that answer. And therefore, it's not a problem over here that someone else is asking him because he already has an answer to that question and that doesn't bother him. Or Tosafot says there are Svarim that had the Girsa before that it was Rabbi Acha asking Ula and not Rabbi Ami, and then you wouldn't have the issue at all. But Tosafot and Rashi both believe over here that Rabbi Ami sent it on to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, not because of the question of Rabbi Yirmiya. Ella, the problem was, according to Rashi, Mishum Shenechtech Areya, that the lung was already cut. Then he wasn't certain to say that it's because of it came to the respiratory system, and therefore it is kasher. That's what Rashi says. Rashi suggests that he wasn't certain about what the psak should be here when it was a cut lung. How far do we go with those that say that are machshir, that it came through the respiratory system? Do we say that only when the lung is whole? Or do we say that even when the lung is cut? And that was the question they had over here. And then he sends it over to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. Sarulach Shura. He also wanted to be matirit. Eitvei Rabbi Yirmiya v'itvei Rabbi Zikra. So now the Rabbi Yirmiya or Rabbi Zikra asked the same question of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. They made their way around. Anytime somebody wanted to be matir, they came in with the question and said, so the Mishnah that says that those are a trefa, my chasera, what does that mean? If it's missing externally, that's the equivalent of a hole. Or it's at least kosher came from a hole. It's an internal chisaron. So he sent it back to Rabbi Ami. So now it's going back, meaning Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka sent it to Rabbi Ami. Fitarfa. And then he comes out unequivocally that it is a trefa. So Rabbi Ami, who said before, wanted to be makshir, when it comes back to him, he's unequivocal and says it's a trefa. Amrle, v'ha rabbonin makshire. Weren't the rabbonin makshire? Now, Rashi says, ha rabbonin refers to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina. Weren't they makshir? Those were rabbonin that said that when you find a needle in the lung, it's fine. Weren't they makshir? Amrlan, hey makshiru, shiodim ezutam makshiru. They gave their hekshir, and they have whatever reason they gave for the hekshir. Ana meizetam nachshir. I can't be machshir over here. Dima v'reya kaman minkuba. If I had the whole lung in front of me, maybe there would have been a hole in it. The fact is, I don't have enough information over here because I'm missing a part of the lung. Or the way that Rashi says over here, that when they made their psak, they were dealing with the whole lung. I am not dealing with the whole lung over here. And since, as Rashi says, Rova nichnasim, derech havesha nichnasim, the majority of needles come through the digestive system, not the respiratory system. So even though Rabbi Yochanan and his cohorts over there were willing to say it came through the respiratory system, that's only in a situation where you have enough evidence to indicate that there's something wrong over here, which is there's no hole in the lung and the needle has to get there. Then I will bet on the lower probability situation or circumstance and say the needle came through the respiratory system. But if I'm already missing a piece of the lung, and now you're asking me to make a decision as to how it got there, I'm more likely to bet that it came on the higher probability route, which is that it came through the digestive system. It came through the digestive system. That's already a trade fall. And therefore, since I don't have the evidence in front of me, because I'm missing a piece of the lung, who says that those Rabbanan that were makshir here would it be makshir here as well? It's not necessarily a pol yotze. They may only have said it when there's no other riuta. But now we have a riuta, which is the lungs missing, and maybe it had a hole in it. If it had a hole in it, you would have said it came through the digestive system, not through the respiratory system. That's the way the Rashi says. Tosafot has a slightly different variation of that. He says, Dilma v'reya, come on, nakva. Lo mishum de derech haveshim min kavate. He doesn't agree with Rashi. He doesn't say because the higher probability route is that it came through the digestive system. Because then, why would he be makshir with the liver that's coming up? Another case that's coming up. Ella, by the mamer, derech simtondot yatsav nichnas b'reya mibachutz. Came through there. It just then exited the lung and came back into the lung. Who says that the needle that's there now didn't exit and then re-enter the lung? And that's why, I don't know, maybe the lung, it did create a hole in the lung. So Tosfa doesn't go as far as Rashi to say that the higher percentage bet is to say it came to the digestive system, and therefore if I don't have the lung here, that's going to be my assumption, if I don't have the whole lung here. Tosfa says, even without the whole lung there, I'm going to still say it came to the respiratory system. Just, I don't know what happened after it came in the respiratory system. It could have punctured the lung and then gone back in or out. Who knows what the needle did while it was inside of the lungs, and therefore I can't make a bet like that. That's how both Rashi and Tosfa read it here, that the Rabbanan Makshire are those Rabbanan before that had that opinion, and they're dissenting or disagreeing because they have a different circumstance over here. They have a part of a lung, they don't have a whole lung over here. That's one way to read it. Another way to read it is that when he says those Rabbanan were Makshire, they're Makshire for whatever reason they're Makshire. I don't understand their Hekshir over there. They had their reasons, and maybe they would have been Makshire even when there's a portion of a lung. I don't have that logic, or I can't come to that conclusion. I don't believe when you have a piece of a lung there, and not the whole lung, that it came through the simponot. Never I'm going to paskin the trefa, even though they might have been makshir. They're makshir for whatever reason. I don't understand their reasoning. I don't have insight into their reasoning. But nevertheless, I have my own view over here. My view is that if I don't have a whole lung here, it's a trefa, even though they might have been makshir. That's another way to read it. All right, so now the Gemara says, taima deleta. That's only because the lung is not in front of us. If we had the lung there and there was no hole in the lung, ksheira, you would have said it was fine. You would have passed them like Rabbi Yochanan. Vama Rav Nachman, hai simpona dereya, de inkav trefa. If you have a bronchi of the lung that was punctured, it is a trefa. So now you have a problem. The reason that you're saying that it's okay over here is because it came through the trachea. The needle entered from the respiratory system, not through the digestive system. If you have the whole lung there, you're going to say, I find a needle in there, no hole, it came through the respiratory system. The only way for it to come through the respiratory system is for it to go through the trachea, into the bronchi, and then puncture the bronchi, and then sit in the flesh of the lungs itself. So that means it punctured one of the bronchi. And we have a din from Rav Nachman that says if you have a hole in one of the bronchial tubes, that is not kasher, that's a trefa. So now, Maimonov Shach, you have a trefa here. Either it came to the digestive system, it's a trefa, or it came to the respiratory system and punctured one of the bronchi, and it's a trefa that way. And my answer is, Aul Chaveiro Yitmar. The way Rashi explains it is that at the part where the bronchi split, they continue to trunk off of each other, at that part of the trunk, if there's a hole over there, that hole will not be sealed. That is because the bronchi are hard, cartilaginous material. They're made out of cartilage, and they're not flexible. So if you have a hole over there, the other bronchi will not seal it up. But then if you're dealing with at the end of a bronchial tube that goes into the area of the lung itself, Over there, the lung or the material of the lung is much softer. It's made out of a fleshier material. And that will seal up the hole on the bronchi. It depends where on the bronchi you have a hole. If you have it where it's adjacent to the flesh, quote unquote, of the lung, in that area, it will seal. If it's not in that softer part, but it's an area where there's a treeing, a trunking of the bronchi, over there, there's only another bronchi there, and that's too hard to create the seal. There's not enough soft material there to seal it up, and that's where it's a problem. So Nachman's case is not relevant over here, because we assume here it went out at the end of one of the bronchi. We don't find any holes, and therefore, it wouldn't be a problem. Va amar Rav Nachman, haya dura de kanto. Dura is something that winds back and forth. The kanto, Rashi says over here, means the fats, and actually translates the word in Old French as entrails. So we're dealing here with the intestines that are wound around, whether it's the small intestine or the big intestine over here. De inka v'hadei chavre. If it punctures into its friend, maginale, it covers it. So if you have this winding intestine that is covered in fats, if there's a puncture in the wall of one of the areas, we assume that the wall from the other part that's wound around it will seal it up. How come over there you say that it seals it up, and over here you're not saying that it seals it up, meaning that when you have the puncture in the bronchi, you're not saying that the other bronchi will cover it up or protect it? How come there's a difference between one case where it does cover it up and the other case where we don't say it covers it up? So I'm Rav Ashi, treifod akad demedami lahadadi. You're comparing treifod. Ein omrim betreifod zo dome lezo. You can't compare treifod. Now he's making this as a more general statement, and here there actually is a reason why you shouldn't do it, and that's exactly for what you're pointing out. By the intestines, it's soft material, and therefore they're flexible, and they sit on top of each other, and they create a seal on top of each other. The bronchi, on the other hand, are much more cartilaginous material, solid material. They don't bend, they don't seal over each other, and that's why the hole over there is going to be a problem. So that's particularly this case. But he's making this as a more generic statement. You can't compare treifod. Treifod are something that is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. It has to have a misora because there's strange things that happen. Shari chutcha mikan umeita, chutcha mikan v'chaya. You cut it over here and it dies. You cut it over here and it lives. Rashi brings the example of tzomet ha'gidin, which is something we'll discuss later on in the Masechta. There's an area in the leg where there's a large coalescence of gidim, whatever that means. If you cut at that area or below that area, the animal will die. It's a treifa. If you cut above that area, it'll live. So that makes no sense. You would always think if you higher up on the leg that you cut, the worse the situation is. Nevertheless, if you cut below the tzomet and gidim are there, it's a treifa. You cut above it, not a treifa. So you see that you can't compare treifa. Here you're cutting higher and it's not a problem. You cut lower and it is a problem. Or some point to the tobritz aveshet, the top of the esophagus. According to Shmuel, who thought that it was needed a rove to be a treifa over there, then you have a case where the top of the esophagus, you need a rove to make it into a treifa. The esophagus itself needs a single hole and it's a treifa. So again there, something that's higher up requires more cutting. You would think just the opposite. It requires the same amount as the esophagus, yet it doesn't. So you see that treifa can't be compared. And similarly over here, you can't compare the treifa. Hai machta, deishtakach besimpona rabu dereya. They found a needle that was inside of the large bronchi of the lungs. Atula kameh the rabbanan trofai. They brought it in front of the rabbanan before, Rish Lakish, Rimani Bar Patish, and Rav Shimon El Yakim. They wanted a psak from them about this. Now their view is that needles don't come through the respiratory system. But over here, they have overwhelming evidence that they're not right. Because the fact that they found it in the bronchi itself, it's much more circumspect to say that that came through the digestive system and now is inside the bronchi. The fact that it's in the bronchi is strong evidence that it came through the respiratory system. Lo amruba lo isur v'lo heter. They weren't willing to be otzer. They weren't willing to be matir. Heter lo amri ba kishmatayu. They weren't willing to be matir because of their own opinion. Needles only get into the lungs through the digestive system, not through the respiratory system. Isur no lo amri ba, they weren't willing to be otzer. Came into the simpona rabba ishtakach. Because it was found in the main bronchi, ema simpona nukavate. The more likely scenario is it came in through the respiratory system. Even according to them, that doesn't happen. Nevertheless, what's sitting in front of us is more evidence of the fact that it probably did come through that rather than coming through the digestive system. Therefore, they left it as an uncertainty. They weren't willing to paskin la'achmir, but they also weren't willing to go to hakel, and they left it as an unresolved issue, which in the end means that it's not going to be eaten because of that, or they allow those that are matir or makshir to paskin on it because they themselves wouldn't give a psak on this issue. Haimachta, the next part of the Gemara is extremely difficult, mostly because of the anatomy issues that come up here. This is something I discussed before, which is that the Gemara seemingly believes that there's some sort of connection between the circulatory and the respiratory systems, and that's how they're explaining the phenomenon over here. There are others today, including the Sichat Chulin, that try to deal with the possibility of how this happened without that being the case, and they try to give alternate explanations, all of which are not easy to explain, but at least avoid the problem of saying that the Rabbanan believe what was the medical knowledge of their time, that there was a connection between the respiratory and circulatory systems. I've seen a number of articles written that give strong evidence that the Rabbanan were following the medical knowledge of their time, and therefore they did believe there was such a connection, and therefore this scenario is impossible. But again, in defense of the Rabbanan, we do have others that explain certain physiological connections that could have this happen. And that is, Haimachto, Tishtakach v'chaticha dekabdo. They found a needle inside the liver. They cut the liver open, and all of a sudden there's a needle inside the liver. The question is, how did the needle get to the liver? Inside the liver itself, it's not a problem, because the liver that has a hole in it is not a trefa. A liver is only a problem if it's nital kulo, it's all gone, there's not a kazayit left, makom chayav, and makom mara. A lot of liver has to be gone for it to be a problem. A needle in the liver, in of itself, is not a problem. Question is, the needle didn't get to the liver because it grew up in the liver. It got to the liver because it was delivered there through a different mechanism. What was the mechanism for delivery? Savar marberei de Rav Yosef the mitrefa. The logical explanation is what marberei de Rav Yosef says. It's a trefa. It got there through the digestive system. It went through the digestive system. The needle punctured out of the digestive system into the liver. The liver sits down towards the bottom of the thoracic cavity by the diaphragm. The digestive system is right below that, and all likelihood, it punctured out of the digestive system into the body of the animal and then into the liver. And that would make it a trefa, because then we'd have a hole through the digestive system. Amalei Ravashi, ilu ishtakach b'bisrak yaigavna b'tarif mar. If you had cut open the animal and found it in the meat of the animal, the flesh of the animal, would you make it into a trefa over there? Obviously not. You wouldn't make it into a trefa, because you would have no idea how the needle got there. You wouldn't have assumed necessarily that it came through the digestive system. You would assume it got there in some way that didn't make it into a trefa. So similarly over here, you should assume it got there in a way that didn't make it into a trefa. How is that? El Amar Ravashi. Kazina ikupa labar nikuve noki va'ate ikupa legav simpona nakat va'atai. So now, the one scenario makes sense, which is, kupa, as Rashi says over here, means the eye of the needle. It's the place where you thread the needle. It's the thicker side of the needle. So that's on the top. The pin of the needle, the point of Rashi calls it, is the other side of the needle. So if the kupa is labar, is external, now means, according to Rashi, it means literally it's outside of the liver. That the kupa is outside the liver, and the needle is inside the liver. That means the point is inside the liver. Then, nikuve naki v'atai. The only way it got there was through the digestive system. The only reason it's coming from external to the liver is because it exited the digestive system and now it's entering into the liver. So that's clearly a trefa, and you're right in that case. But, ikupa legav, if on the other hand, the eye of the needle, the threaded part, the liquor part of the needle is internal to the liver, and the point is going out of the liver, sticking out of the liver, simpona nakat v'atai. It came through a trunk. It came through some piping. The question is, what piping did that? The most likely scenario, and this is the way Rashi explains it over here, is similar to what we saw on Memhei, which is that there was a belief that there were three pipes that were all connected. And the three pipes were the aorta, the trachea, and the vena cava, vena cava, that those were all connected. Then that would make sense here, that the assumption is how it got there was it went in the respiratory system, and then it moved from the vena cava that has a connection by the lung, and also a connection by the liver, and it was delivered to the liver through the vena cava. That assumes that there's some connection between the respiratory and circulatory system, which means that it's able to go from the lungs into the vena cava, and then from the vena cava into the liver. Now, there are a number of issues with that, which is, first of all, there is no connection between the lungs and the vena cava. Again, this is what we discussed on Mem Hei, which is that if you dissect an animal, it looks like there is a connection between the vena cava and the lungs. First of all, it passes right by there, right through the lungs. There are actually connections or pipings between them that make it look like there's actually a physical connection between them. And therefore, it's very deceiving. And that was the belief for many years until the discovery of the closed circulatory system, that there was a connection between the lungs and the vena cava. And that's what would allow this to happen. Now, even though the flow of the blood in the vena cava is a return, it's a vein, it's bringing blood back from the lower part of the body to the heart, which means that the needle moved against the flow of the blood. Nevertheless, as Sichat Pulin points out, the flow of blood over there is very slow. It's returning to the heart at a very slow pace. It's passing by the liver to get clean and then going into the heart. It's coming at a slow enough pace that a needle could travel against the flow of the blood and would not be so difficult given the weight of the needle. So that's not an impossibility. The real question is, how did it get from the lung to the vena cava without puncturing the lung? The only way you could believe that is if you think there's a connection between the respiratory and circulatory system that allow for such penetration. So that would be the way that it got there, according to Rav Ashi, and then it wouldn't be a problem. The modern solutions to that problem are a number of which the Sichat Pulin gives some, one of which he describes over here, is a case that the needle itself went into the lungs. From the lungs, there are connections to the circulatory system, not direct connections, but connections through the blood vessels that are in the lung. And through those blood vessels, it entered into the blood system, went through the heart, the aorta was pumped out, and then moved to the liver that way. That's his suggestion as to a solution, where it wouldn't have punctured the lungs to get into the vena cava, but rather went through the circulatory system, which has exposure in the lungs. We have these small blood vessels, maybe could have entered without puncturing the lung completely. Still a very difficult solution. The other solution is that there is actually a connection. There's a duct that runs between the digestive system and the liver, which is called the ductus colodocus, which is the connection between the bile from the liver system and the cystic duct that also joins up with the gallbladder and the pancreatic duct. So those connections might have allowed for some sort of passing from the digestive system into the liver without puncturing the digestive system. Those are the two modern solutions to the problem. Yes, they're both far-fetched. I mean, most of this is far-fetched because it's coming through the respiratory system to start with. You're already in a low probability case. And even given that, now you're adding even lower probabilities to that of the ways that it's moving through. Gemara says, ani mini balimta. There's only true when you deal with a large enough sized needle where there's a difference between the point of the needle and the eye of the needle, where the top of the needle is thicker than the bottom. So then direction makes a difference because the point would be the direction of the needle because it needs it to penetrate. But if the needle is small enough, of katanta, lo shna kupa le gav, lo shna kupa le bar. If it's small enough, then it doesn't matter whether it's facing in or out because it can puncture or penetrate either way. It's sharp enough. Sometimes you feel that with very small needles, even the side that's not a point is sharp just because it's so narrow, it's so small. And for that case, you can't prove anything of that because nekuve naki vaate. It can puncture in either direction and move. And therefore, its direction in the liver is not evidence that it came from one direction or the other direction. Now, Tosafot over here makes the point, the Eina Faresh Kamachat Miksata Dachutz Lekaveda Miksata B'Tokho. Don't explain it as a case where the needle's half in or half out. That's the way Rashi explained it. Aval Kulo B'Tokhan Kaved Sheira B'Chol Inyan. But then you would think, or you would then be Medayek, that if the needle's entirely in the liver, it's not a problem at all. Since that's not true. This whole case here is whether the needle is inside the liver or external the liver. Even if it's inside the liver, the direction it faces makes a difference how you think it got there. Whether it's pointing out or pointing in will make a difference, even when it's entirely subsumed inside of the liver. So it says, V'nira the davka gavet kaved yesh chiluk. Only by a liver is there a difference between which way it's facing. Ava bireya, if it's in the lungs, sheira b'chol inyan, it doesn't matter. The krova l'kaneh, it's nearer the trachea. The simpona d'reya yesh la revach v'chalal gadol. The bronchi are very wide, and they can allow for a needle to pass through, whether it's pointing in the pointy direction or not in the pointy direction, doesn't matter. There's enough space to go through the trachea and the simpon and end up in the lungs. You find it in the gizzard of the chicken, kasher, because that came through the esophagus and got to the gizzard over there. And that's a plausible thing without it puncturing anything. And that's also a fine thing because there's a wide enough space for it to pass through without puncturing. He's pointing out that if you can figure out how the needle got there without puncturing, doesn't matter which way it's facing, you can assume it came that way. And even though it's a low probability, if there's no evidence to the contrary, we're going to assume that it's fine. But over here, by the liver, or the only way for it to get there is either puncturing or through a strange way, then it matters which way it's facing to determine how it got to the liver. It's unique to the liver. And Tosfot says that even if it's completely embedded in the liver, which direction it faces matters. What about the fact that when you find a needle in the wall, the membranes of the reticulum, mitzad echad kasherah, if it's only embedded in the inner membrane of the beta kotzot, then it's kasher. Mishnei tzadim, if it went through both membranes of the reticulum, treifa. We don't say, let's say, ikupa labar, ikupa legav. Why don't you look at which way the needle's facing? If it's facing out, then you can say that the point penetrated the inner membrane, not the outer membrane, and that's why it's not a treifa. But if it's the head of the needle that's there, the point is facing in, it's the head that's embedded in the wall of the membrane, then in all likelihood, the way it came in was from the outside. And it punctured it, and now it sealed up the outer membrane, and the inner membrane is still stuck in it. So why don't you measure which way it's going? Amrei Hotam came into Ika Ochlim U'Mashkim, Im Ochlim U'Mashkim Dacha Kua. It's different inside of the beta kotzot, instead of the reticulum, because there are other factors that actually cause it to be embedded in the lining of the reticulum. And that is that here by the kaveh, there's no pressure that's moving it. Therefore, direction matters, or where you find it matters. There's nothing naturally pressuring it to go in that direction. The only reason it's facing in that direction is because that's how it got there. On the other hand, in the reticulum, there's food and other items that are going through the digestive system that are putting pressure on the needle. And they can cause the needle to embed in the wall of the reticulum, even if it's not the pointy side. Because the needle doesn't have a choice of how it's moving. It's getting moved with other items. There's other pressures there. And those pressures could cause it to embed in the wall, whether it's the point side or the non-point side. And therefore, it's not evidence in which way it's facing as to whether it penetrated or broke through the outer wall of the reticulum. And therefore, we will not look at which direction it's facing. We'll just figure out if it penetrated one or two membranes. That's the only thing we look at. In the kaveh, since there's nothing pressuring it to enter over there, we're going to look at which direction it's facing to determine how it got there. And how it got there then will determine whether it is a trefa or not a trefa. Okay, we're going to stop here, four lines down on the top of Memtet Amud Aleph.